I'm going to speak on a particular subject. I'm going to keep it very short. I know that most of you are a little tired. I'm a little tired. It's been a long day. But it's a subject I believe that I need to address. And I'm going to speak somewhat on commitment this evening and conviction. And just had a thought. If you're like me, if you have a thought, you better write it down or you're going to forget it. I get that way more and more as I get older. I'd like for you, if you have your Bibles, to follow along. I'm going to turn to the 13th chapter of John. I'm going to start reading and the 33rd verse. And this is Jesus with his chosen 12, his disciples. This is just after the Last Supper. They were talking, they were discussing, they were trying to figure some things out. One of the questions preceding this reading, in other, not necessarily in this particular book, but at the same time in other Gospels, it talks that they were discussing which one was going to be the greatest. Which one, I don't think it really means the greatest. I think they meant which one is going to be the leader. Which one is going to be the head of the pack, the one who goes out first. And I have no doubt that Christ was a little, I'm not going to say upset, but I'm going to say probably disappointed with what he heard at that particular time. But he goes on and he tries to lift them up, starting with the 33rd verse. And he says, little children. And I think that's what they were at this time. I think they were acting like little children. They thought as little children. And their focus was very narrow. They had been walking and talking with Jesus Christ for, I would guess, about 3 years, some of them up to 3 years, maybe some a little less than this. But what they've been doing is observing. But they didn't do a whole lot. Folks, they didn't do a whole lot. Christ did it. And they were watching our Savior at this time. And they were much like little children. And so he addresses them as little children. Yet a little while am I with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I have said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you, this is really what he wanted to tell them. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. And what's the first words out of who we, at least not we, I consider at this time the most vocal disciple? What's the first words that Peter says? Lord, whither thou goest. Okay? Christ was delivering the most important message that he could to his disciples, to love as I have loved you. And what was the first question out of Peter's mouth? Where are you going? Where are you going? Just like a little child. Just exactly like a little child. Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou cannot follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. I want you to think about that. They were still little children. Peter didn't understand. He did not truly understand that new commandment that he gave. They had already received the commandment to love your neighbor as yourself. This was a new commandment, to love as I have loved you, as Christ had loved. And that is a commandment. And that is the great commandment, to love and have that love and the type of love that Jesus Christ has. That was the message that he was trying to give his disciples at this time. And what were they interested in? Where are you going? Are you going to leave us? What are we going to do? What are we going to do without you? Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. He's still going back to it. I want to go. I want to go. Wherever you're going, I want to go. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Verse 37, Peter says he's going to lay down his life. He would lay down his life for Christ's sake. And you can take that for just what it says, lay down his physical life, or you can go a little deeper, and give away the life that you live now and pick up the life that Christ lived. And I think that's what he meant. To put aside wanting to be the greatest, to put aside your own personal wants and take up Christ's life. Put away your own. I don't know that I would have acted a whole lot different. I don't know that for sure. I do know that we are different. We are very, very much different. Almost everyone in this congregation has an advantage, has a great advantage over Peter at this time, over the other 11 at this time. You have an advantage. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Peter was not converted at this time. He was not convicted. He had a lot to learn. But I can tell you right now, you've already learned it. You have already learned it. You know what that is? Do you know what that is? Most everyone in here has been baptized. Most everyone here has been baptized. Most everyone here has had hands laid upon their heads for the reception of the Holy Ghost. You have that. We have that now. We should not be little children anymore. Are you ready to love as Christ loved? Are you ready to lay down your life at this moment? I can almost say without hesitation that at one time, almost everyone in here was. I want you to think back when you were baptized. Now, some of you, that's almost beyond before creation, I know. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Grandma. That's a long, long, long time ago. But I want you, if you can, think back at that particular time. I want you to think about when you went down into the waters and when you came up. I want you to think about the songs and the prayers that were said for you and sang for you. I want you to think about the words, the prayer that was offered over you when hands were laid upon your head, and when they were lifted, and when you stood, what were you ready to do? You were ready to lay down your life for Christ. You were ready to lay down your life for me. You were ready to lay down your life for the checkout person at Quick Trip across the street. Yes, you were. You were ready to do it. Am I wrong? Am I wrong? Were you ready to go out for Jesus Christ? Yes, you were. And yes, I was. Now, I have to ask you the question, is that zeal and is that commitment and is that conviction, as you felt at that time, still with you right now? And you don't have to answer no, but I can tell you, if you're thinking, I think so, or maybe, then I can tell you, no, it's not. No, it's not. You do not feel the same as what you did. Maybe we're drifting back. Maybe not. Now, hey, I'm answering for myself. You can answer for you, because I tell you, this is a personal relationship. Larry Beam or Rollin or whoever cannot save your soul and cannot get you committed to the Lord. There's only one person that can get you committed and convicted and converted to the Lord, and that's yourself. Converted and staying converted. There's only one person, and that's you. I could get off on a tangent on this, and I can get a little upset, and I shouldn't get upset, but my wife will tell you I get a little upset when I hear people say, well, the church should be doing this, and the church should be doing that. This is a personal thing, folks. This is an individual thing. I want to turn into Luke. The 22nd chapter of Luke. Read 23 through 32. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them. This is taking place. This is the same thing. This is the disciples with Christ discussing what I mentioned just earlier. Strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. You know the story. You know the story in which Christ washed Peter's feet. This all happened before. All teaching, and still not converted. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you. I am among you as he that serveth. You call me master. You call me master. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, I'm giving you the kingdom. I'm getting you ready for the kingdom. As my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, oh Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. When you receive that Spirit and that Holy Ghost, and it changes your heart, and you can lay down your life and follow me, strengthen your brethren. I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. Image over Peter and his brethren at this time. It's here. It's with us. Again, I say, are you ready to lay down your life for whomever? And can you do it now? Can you do it right now? In order for the Lord to get close to you, you have to first make the effort to get close to the Lord. And that's a continuing thing. So how do I do that? I want to feel the same way I did as when I was baptized. I came out of the water, they laid hands. I want to feel that again. I want to feel that continue. Wouldn't you like to feel that every day of your life? Wouldn't you like to feel that when you go out to work and have to answer the phone to people that are upset because their cars have been wrecked? Or wouldn't you like to be able to carry that with you? Or whether you're in school and you have a teacher that you don't understand and they don't understand you, wouldn't you like to have that same feeling with you continually? That's what we're called to do. That is our mission. That was the disciples' mission once they received that same Spirit that you have right now. What happened? Where is it? How do I get it back? How do I get that feeling back? How do I feel that same way? You all know that feeling that I'm talking about. You all know that, ooh, excited feeling, don't you? How do I get it back? How do I keep it? The answer is simple. I'm going to keep this short. I'm going to keep this simple. I want you to turn in your Book of Mormons. I'm going to read something. Everyone here has read, I hope, over and over and over and over again. Turn to 429 in your Book of Mormon, starting with the 118th verse. You have this, a star beside and underlined in your Book of Mormon? I hope so. Therefore, may God grant unto you, my brethren, that ye may begin to exercise your faith unto repentance, that ye begin to call upon His holy name, that He would have mercy upon you, yea, cry unto Him for mercy, for He is mighty to save. Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto Him. Cry unto Him when ye are in your fields, yea, over your flocks, cry unto Him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning, at midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto Him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto Him against the devil, who is an enemy to all righteousness. Cry unto Him over the flocks of your fields, that they may you may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields, that they may increase. Cry over unto Him at work. Cry out to Him in school. Cry out to Him wherever you are. Cry out to Him with your friends. That's it. I mean, it's as simple as that. It really is as simple as that. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto Him continually for your welfare, and also for the welfare of those who are around you. It's just so simple, you know? It's just so simple. And if we are praying on Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings and Monday mornings and Monday evenings and so forth throughout the week, that's great. But you know what it says in the Book of Mormon? That's not enough. That's not enough. If you want, if I want, if we want that personal relationship, that feeling that we have had and have, then this is what we do. We make it personal. We talk to the Lord. We ask Him. We talk to Him. We listen to Him. You know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. You're going to get that feeling back, folks. The Lord does not leave us. We leave the Lord every time. Every single time. It's easy to talk to the Lord. It's easy to talk to the Lord. That is all I wanted to bring this evening. But I want you to think about it. And I want you to think about it earnestly. Earnestly. Throughout this coming week. And not look for Wednesday night to be your pick-me-up. Okay? And it is a pick-me-up. But don't look and count on Wednesday night to be your pick-me-up. Think about it when you go home this evening and you get up in the morning and when you're at work. Think of those things when you're talking to the Lord. Let that be what picks you up. And guess what's going to happen? It's going to pick you up. And you're going to have that commitment and that desire, and you're going to have the inspiration to carry on. That's all I have. I don't know what the closing is.